There is a Maase, a Jewish folk story, about a husband and a wife who were asked by a young man at a train station what time it was. "Get away from here," yelled the husband. "Why don't you tell him the time?" wonders the wife. "Well, for this, I will need to get my pocket watch. And you know, it's made of gold. He will see that we are well-to-do people. He will want to know if we have a daughter. Then we'll have to say that we do. Then he will ask us to marry her. And do you think that we will let our Sarah marry such a schlimazele? Well, I will have to chase him away. So you know what? I just wanted to save the time we would have to waste on all of these conversations and chase them away right away." People usually foresee the consequences of their moves. And if they don't like these consequences, they refrain from these moves. Those who don't like religion often attribute faith to people's weaknesses. They say that people follow religion not because there is some truth to it, but only because it fills their emotional need. Sigmund Freud, known for his disdain for religion, claimed that it emerged from feelings of helplessness in the face of the forces of nature. He called religion a psychological invention of civilization. Now, it is possible that people are attracted to religion because it helps them. I'm sure many will say that they draw their support from faith. But I have a question about those who deny God's existence and don't follow religion. Maybe they also do it on an emotional basis. Everyone understands that if he will admit that there is a creator, then the next logical question will be, what did this creator made him for? If a person admits that religion has some validity, then he will have to follow its laws. And giving up shrimp is very hard. A person will have to start observing Shabbat, attending a synagogue. In order not to fall into this trap, it is easier to say right away that there is no God. Like that Jew who chased away a young man who asked what time it was. In my last blog, I said that in the secular world, children are told, you have no limitations. You could choose whichever life path you desire. It is obviously contradicting science. Everyone is limited by their both nature and nurture. As opposed to the secular world, Torah recognizes that we all have restrictions, and it encourages us to see who we were born to be and use it to the maximum. Many people asked me in response, why do I associate recognition of limitations with religious thought and its denial with secular worldview? It's a very good question. The secular world is forced to deny that everyone is limited because their ideology corners them this way. If I admit that my genes and my environment are restricting me, then I must think that it is possible that these obstacles can be so big that I will not be able to achieve anything in my life at all. I'm forced to admit that at least statistically, there must be a percentage of people who, due to the combination of their biological and situational factors, are not capable of anything. They're completely useless. Maybe I'm a part of the statistics. Maybe my kids are. We always see where our arguments lead us. In the secular world, one can never be sure that his limitations are surmountable. So it is easier to tell their children that there are no limitations. That is, to chase away the young man who asked what time it was. The Torah believes that we are created the way we are by God. He made everyone for a purpose, and he gave each one everything that is required to achieve it. We all have our limitations, but these limitations are also created by the same God with the same purpose in mind. And the situations where we end up are also orchestrated by him. Therefore, unlike those who do not believe in the Creator, we are not afraid to admit that we have limitations.